Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com on this Saturday morning. A feature interview with Mark DePue. He's involved in the Oral History Project at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum down in Springfield, and they do a great job telling a number of different stories in Illinois. And again, the website is oralhistory.illinois.gov. And I know as we're on this Veterans Day weekend, they have a great section involving hundreds of veterans in different conflicts from throughout Illinois. So again, you can sort through that. But I wanted to kind of focus on a couple of projects as it relates to high school athletics in Illinois. I know, Mark, you've just released a collection involving IHSA-related interviews. Several years ago, you had a Title IX project. So I want to begin kind of with the Title IX, because I know I talked to the person that was in charge of that several years ago, but it's a perfect time to draw some additional attention to that. That's an impressive collection. I forget how many interviews are involved, but, man, it's impressive.
Yeah, this is. I ran into a woman by the name of Ellen Barges when I went to an oral history conference, and she was a master's student at the time talking about this project she was doing on Title IX. Well, it was a passion of hers because in 1977, she played in the very first girls' state basketball tournament, and that was the transformative event for her. And so she got very interested, and she went out and did a bunch of interviews part of her master's, and then continued off into the PhD program. And so it's a donated collection, but it's exactly the kind of thing that we want to add because it's an important piece of Illinois history. I mean, before Title IX, girls just didn't have the opportunities they have now. And I've often thought about this. I don't think that young ladies today have any appreciation that their mothers and especially their grandmothers and their aunts didn't have opportunities like they have to play volleyball and basketball and softball and all these other sports. And, you know, it's such an important part of their lives, and they don't realize that dimension wasn't there for their parents and grandparents.
Well, and the thing you bring up, I mean, we're talking about modern history here, too. I mean, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing that can be frustrating that kids, and I have three daughters, you know, so and I have one that's a senior in high school that plays athletics. And I think 2017 leading into 2018, it was just back in the early 70s when girls in high school didn't have an opportunity to play interscholastic athletics, at least in a state tournament series setting. That's available now.
Of course, they think that's ancient history, but we know better, don't we?
Amen. Amen to that. But the thing, Mark, that I like about it, you know, I think there's probably 30 plus interviews the last time I checked involved that's involved in that oral history project. Is you have you know the different segments involved from the the actual student athletes to maybe some of the policymakers who fought for Title IX, who fought for the programs, and some of the coaches who were involved there in the initial days, and some of the challenges they dealt with. And the thing that I think is so great about the Oral History Project, again, at oralhistory.illinois.gov, again, through the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, these are in-depth interviews with these subjects. We're not talking about 15-second sound bites. We're talking about interviews, you know, up to an hour or more. And that's what I really like about it, because you can take your time. You have to. It's impossible to listen to all these interviews at once. But just the dynamics of telling the story through the spoken word, to me, is so impressive about this.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Jim. It's always been our intention. It's a little bit different from being a journalist, and that's it. They have a different challenge. They have different end results that they want to have. But our goal is to ask a question and then let people answer in the totality, to really develop it completely and what their thoughts might be in a particular subject. We do a lot of politicians, and that's important to them, but it's equally important for things like school consolidation and these interviews that Phil Pogue, one of my volunteers, did on the Illinois High School Association. You were talking about the diversity that we had in the girls' basketball. He really hit that out of the park for this IHSA project. Coaches and officials and students and people who worked at IHSA, broadcasters like yourself were involved with that project, kind of every single look that you could possibly think of. All of these new sports, like conversation about bass fishing and lacrosse and cheerleading and things like that, are included in that project as well.
Well, and that's why when I was asked to participate in that, one, I was taken aback. I'm like, why do they want to talk to me? But then I thought, well, what, he can come in here and talk to me for about 15 minutes. And I remember when he got done, it was like 2 hours he came in and he left. I mean, it's a full day. I mean, you talk about thorough in all different aspects. So the IHSA is the latest project they've done on that front. And they talk to, like I said, they talk to coaches, they talk to former student athletes, the policymakers within the IHSA. So a lot of great stories there. And I know, you're on our Sportsline program now, but I think another great piece that the Oral History Project completed several years ago involved school district reorganization. And, basically a collection of all sides. And I've lived through consolidations in our area of the state, so I know the sensitive nature that those type of things bring. So I thought, man, this for small-town America, this is something that people can really wrap their arms around and say, yeah, these are the issues that these communities have to go through. That's a big storyline now in today's environment, the school district consolidation, in terms of how education has changed, at least in my area of the state of Illinois. What about the school district reorganization oral history project?
It was the origin of my boss, Tom Schwartz, who was a state historian when we were first getting started. And said, hey, Mark, one of these things that might be interested for you to check in on is school district organization, because that has a big impact on these small towns. And I said, well, that sounds like a great idea. And again, we're right at the beginning, and Phil Pogue, who is one of my first volunteers, a school superintendent down in Greenville himself, so he understood these things. I said, Phil, could you do 3 or 4 interviews for us on the subject? Tom mentioned it. And he says, okay. Well, by the time he's done, he's got over 50 interviews on school consolidation. And like you said, it's on every aspect. I mean, we got deep into it. And he says, Phil, you need to go out and talk to some people who are really opposed to school consolidation to hear their side of the story as well. And he does a superb job, very systematic way of going through the questions and covering all of the important issues. It's an issue which is, people in the big city says, what's that all about? Why are they getting so upset about that? But if you're in these small towns, it's everything to you. It's the identity of what you grew up with. And boy, do people get passionate about it. So it was a great subject for us to be collecting on.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with the school mascot and the identity and the independence. And, the issue of, hey, if we don't have our school through this school district reorganization, vis-a-vis what's going to happen to our town, and you hear those fears in a lot of these interviews you do. And then, of course, the proponents of the consolidation, the demographics in a lot of these stories speak for themselves. You're dealing with declining population, declining tax base, declining enrollment, lack of opportunity in programs. So that's what kind of that oral history project was able to represent in the story of school district reorganization in the state, which I think is so impressive how they told that story.
Yeah. Jim, I imagine you've heard this joke. What's the hardest animal to kill in Illinois?
Yeah.
School mascot.
Yeah. You ain't a kidding. And I want to back up because I thought one of the most compelling interviews in that Title IX project, the Oral History Project. And again, I encourage our listeners to visit oralhistory.illinois.gov. There was a coach, I believe, in Carthage, Illinois. All right. It was a male, and he was coaching. He was one of the first, I think, girls basketball coaches. And I'm paraphrasing some of this by memory, that took over the Carthage program, and they became a power, leading up to their, consolidation. Or I think there's two stories there because they actually go, Title IX, they're a big story there. And then, of course, they were a convergence, I think, in their school district reorganization, where I think 3 or 4 elementary feeder districts came together to create basically a high school district. But this coach, I remember, was telling the story how the challenge for the male coach at the time who wanted to coach a girl sport, they were kind of frowned upon. And then the challenges the female student athlete had to overcome about wanting to basically, you know, cross the barrier and be a female student athlete and worry about, you know, being poked fun of for wanting to play girls athletics. So I remember he told the story about how he initially did it, is he wanted to take his girls away from the main school facility, the main high school facility, and go somewhere else and practice on their own. And he said he had to do that in the early days, but it kind of paid off because it got the girls more comfortable to play interscholastic athletics. Yeah. So when you talk about kids today taking that for granted, there would be an uproar today if you said the girls' basketball team, you can't practice the main high school facility. We're going to take you out of town and you're going to practice there.
Oh, yeah. I think you're talking about Dick Berry's.
That's right. That's the name. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. He told the – and then he told the obstacle he had to overcome in terms of being a male coaching a girls' team down in Carthage. So that's
well. It sounds like you're an enthusiastic supporter, and we love to hear that. I mean, we've got so much that's worth checking out on our webpage.
Yeah, and while we have time, because I could talk to you, I could do an hour and 50-minute interview with you at the least. But I do on this Veterans Day weekend, and actually we're playing this interview. We talked with Mark DePue again. He's with the Oral History Project at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. Some of the work I do with the Illinois Farm Bureau and the RFD Radio Network. We had him on earlier in the week, and he was detailing project involving Illinois veterans. That section is called Veterans Remember, and we're playing this interview back on Veterans Day on WRMJ. So can you highlight the Veterans Remember portion of your project? If I remember from the RFD Illinois interview we did, I think you have at least 100-plus World War II veterans. You basically have all kinds of veterans from across the conflict, across the many different conflicts, but all of them are Illinois veterans. So take it away with the Veterans Remember project.
We've got over 100 on World War II with World War II veterans, and everybody knows a World War II veteran. I didn't have to go looking. They all came to me, essentially. When I started, I wanted to focus on the Korean War, and we now have over 50 Korean War interviews. And those poor guys have always been kind of left in the background, the forgotten war, and it's certainly been my experience of doing the interviews. But some amazing stories you hear from them. Of course, the Vietnam collection now, and that's in the neighborhood of 50. And that will only go up in the next few years because we're kind of moving away from the World War II and Korean War generation. Also have quite a few with the War on Terror, a couple on the Gulf War, and have an interesting collection on the Cold War to include a gentleman I'll be talking to here in the library in a special event on Saturday, Admiral Ron Thunman, who spent his entire life in submarines. So while he didn't see any action in Vietnam, he was only chasing Soviet subs underneath the ice pack during the Vietnam War, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. So, again, as we wrap up, just the background of the motivation of doing this started, what, 10 years ago, several years ago. But then, you know, the motivation behind it. And then why don't you – there's how many independent projects you've done then altogether? So start with the motivation, and now how many projects do you have? Long story short, I guess.
Yeah, we started in 2006. I was hired. The museum was brand new. The library was brand new. So they figured, here's an opportunity to start an oral history program. Now, what's Abraham Lincoln got to do with oral history? You know, there's nobody who remembers him. But it used to be the Illinois State Historical Library. So my charter was all of Illinois history, and I love that. A special focus on two or three big priority projects. One was Illinois statecraft, which is a very nice way of saying Illinois politics. And boy, there's plenty of interesting stories in that.
Yeah, that's the understatement of the free world.
Oh, yeah. The second priority was agriculture, because, as you know, so much of the time, farmers don't have time to collect their history, understand their stories. And, you know, school consolidation is part of that, but we've got probably around 90 interviews in the ag collection. The third priority was veterans, and we've talked about that. But I also have a large collection on immigrants. We've got a new collection on people of faith. They'll get different perspectives on religion in central Illinois. We got this sports stories project now, and Phil Pogue has added so much to that, and Ellen Barges' project on Title IX, and a few other really great interviews in that area. We've got one on the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency. So that's the agency I work for, a little bit of an internal look. But it was important to get the history of how the library and museum here, for example, came into existence in the first place. Almost as much politics involved in something like that is talking to Governor Thompson about their experiences. So we got a little bit of everything here, and we keep adding. We've got a new project for somebody out there who wants to do something with their particular community. We'd love to hear from you, because we want to be the conduit, the people who can help you collect your own community's history and get it up on our webpage. Right now we've got Rochester and Williamsville. We need to get a lot more.
All right. And again, the easiest way to contact Mark DePue at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, that the clearinghouse is oralhistory.illinois.gov. Mark DePue, keep up the great work. Man, this is a great, great resource for the people of the state of Illinois. Nice going, and keep it up.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. A pleasure to talk to you.
All right, we'll have more on WRMJ in a moment.